it's not about falling down. It's about how fast you can get up after you have fallen down. That's where the magic is.
Discover what it takes to be a world-class entrepreneur.
No success story ever happened without any struggle at the beginning.
And how you can have it all from the greatest minds in business.
Why do you think people give up when business gets tough?
Welcome to the Woman Entrepreneur Podcast. Here is your host, international award-winning entrepreneur and founder of Woman Entrepreneur, Erna Vasan.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Erna Vasan. I am your host for the Woman Entrepreneur Podcast. This is our first podcast for the 2018 show. So today's a very special show. We have a fitness tycoon all the way from South Africa. He is the founder and CEO of Body 20, which is a EMS franchise global company that started in beautiful South Africa. Good morning, Batters. It's great having you on the show today.
Hi, Erna. Thanks so much for having me on the show. I'm looking forward to speaking to you.
Yes.
Very excited. I think it's so relevant. I mean, everyone is starting out the new year with New Year's resolutions on their bodies. And the beautiful thing is we can not only focus on the body, but we can also focus on their pockets. You know, as entrepreneurs, there's also a different focus for the new year. So I sense an excitement in entrepreneurs to make it a massive year of success in 2018.
Exactly. And you know what? This podcast is dedicated to help entrepreneurs. You know, I feel that the media is showing only the good side, but you know, no one wants to actually talk about that side, the real stuff. I mean,
I like to call it the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Exactly, you know? That's exactly what I want to say now. So before we get into it, just to let everyone know again, this show is totally unscripted. It's unrehearsed. Bathis hasn't seen any of the questions that I'm about to ask him. Bathis, I hope you can sit on your feet today.
Yes, I'm going to try.
Okay, do my best. Good. And so before we get into the serious questions, I'm asking this on behalf of the entire female population in the world. So tell us, do you have a six-pack or do you have an eight-pack, Mr. Albert?
I have a six-pack, I believe. I'm unfortunately genetically not gifted with eight of them, but I'm happy with the six that I do have. Thanks for asking, though.
Absolutely. So I will also be happy with the six pack. So let's get into it. So before we get into your journey and what you do, let's just give a brief discussion on what is EMS training for those who doesn't know. I actually went to one of your studios in Port Elizabeth, in South Africa, and I had my ass kicked that day. It was such a great workout. It's tough, and you know, I'm used to training, and what I enjoyed most that it's only 20 minutes. So tell us, what is EMS training?
Awesome. Well, you know, at Body 20, we focus on technology-driven workouts. So we believe that technology is in a place right now where we can leverage it to really get deep muscle recruitment. And the style of training that we offer people is what you'd get if you were a professional gym weightlifter. You know, you've got to do heavy weights. You've got to do that mind-to-muscle connection. It has to be deep, you know, and that's what we offer using electromuscle stimulation. We do what we call hypertrophic contractions on the muscle. So that muscle is going through kind of a very explosive muscle contraction, unlike cardio. You know, we find people are very capable of training themselves on cardiovascular exercises. You know, you go for a run, you go cycle. But the difficult part about training is about getting that deep muscle recruitment, which you only get if you do explosive strength training, you know. So we offer that by generating what we call an action potential on the actual muscles themselves, which means that the muscle contracts as if you were had heavy weights in your arms. I'm sure, you know, when you were training, you could feel that your muscles tense up so much that you can't almost move. That's how deep the muscle recruitment is, you know? And that's That's also why you feel that the DOMS, the delayed onset muscle soreness, really kicks in a day to 2 days afterwards, usually around 48 hours. So our customers at Body 20 love us because they feel it. You know, it's not like that workout where you're wondering, oh, is it going to work or isn't it? Once you've done it, we activate all the muscles at the same time. I think that's also a huge value, is that, you know, we don't, like when you go to the gym, you train your legs and then you train your chest and then you train your arms. You know, we do all of it at the same time because we use the technology. Now, a lot of people think, as I'm sure you did, that you're just going to stand there or lay down or some form of therapy.
I was waiting to go and lie down because I was so exhausted. I couldn't wait.
So 100%. But the training itself is very dynamic. We do the same type of exercises that you do in a normal environment, conventional place, but we do it using technology at the same time. That's why you suit up like a little RoboCop or RoboCop in this case.
So what I actually enjoyed most is that it has different levels. You know, even if you are a beginner, you are an intermediate, or you are an advanced athlete, Body 20 is for you because you cater for the entire spectrum of bodies. You know,
precisely, because I mean, it's low impact on the joints and the ligaments. So even the old people, I mean, our oldest client, give you some perspective, is 87 years old. Yeah. And I mean, to train like that, and we're not just talking about she's training, she's getting quality training. I mean, we guarantee 36,000 muscle contractions in 20 minutes. So, you know, the thing is, the variables when you go to a conventional training, your variables is how motivated are you and how good is your mind to muscle connection. And, you know, both of those are very low for the average person. I mean, you haven't trained for a while, so your muscle conditioning is low and you're unmotivated, you know. So you can go train, but you waste a lot of time just getting yourself into it. Where at Body 20, we obviously, from moment one, we know just how much work the body's going through, so we can quantify your results. You know, and I think that's the beauty, is we know 36,000 contractions, 20 minutes, and you will feel it, you know, on your arms, your abs, your back. And I mean, we split your back, upper back, middle back, your lats, your glutes, your quads, your hamstrings, all of them separately. And what I like about what you said is that each muscle group, we can intensify. So if you've got weaknesses, for example, some people, the tummy area might be the issue, or their bum might be the issue. So we intensify the contractions by increasing the action potentials in that area so that you actually work harder on your weak spots.
Exactly.
So to speak.
It's brilliant. And
awesome.
So what, because I'm going to go with what we are saying now, is what can you, you know, how, what is the advice you can give to people, you know, that want to make the body change in 2018, but that doesn't have the motivation yet, they have been out of the gym for quite a while? What is your best advice to those people, you know, to get motivated in terms of getting back in the gym or getting back in training?
So, yeah, no, 100%. I get this question a lot, and it's about getting started, you know, and we love to procrastinate, okay, not only as in our fitness, but also as entrepreneurs, and it's about taking immediate action. And sometimes that scares people because it feels like you've got to do the right thing. It's not about doing the right thing necessarily. It's about doing first, okay? So start walking, start jogging, take your dog out, and that will start inspiring you to make better and bigger changes, you know? Then you make smarter decisions. You don't need to know everything at the beginning. Just get going, you know? And I always try our customers, for those that's lucky enough to go to a Body 20, I tell them, you know, this inspires you to even do more, you know, because you've got to have that cliche, as they say, that lifestyle of saying, you know what, when I wake up, I'm thinking that the healthier my body, the better I feel, the better my mind and my soul works as well. So, you know, you've got to start looking at your body as the biggest, asset that you own. Because your body impacts your mind, which obviously controls your outlook on life, you know. So I would say that, guys, you got to get started. And whatever that might be that gets you going, you know, that inspires you to move forward, that is what you got to grab onto. And then the rest will open itself up, you know. I see a lot of people that look at me and they go, oh, I want to look like that. I'm like, well, to look great, you got to first start off by, you know, being consistent. You know, even if it's with something that's not necessarily training your hardest, that's not what matters initially. Consistency comes first, then we can focus on intensity. Now, obviously, eventually, you can't just be consistent and not push your intensity, but I'd say, guys, get going, just be consistent with whatever you do, make sure you can do it every week. You know, don't go do this week, 4 times a week you go train, because you know this is now my New Year's resolution. What you should rather do is say, hey, what's sustainable for me? You know, is it 2 sessions, 3 sessions of jogging, running, cycling, going to the gym, coming to Body 20, and start with what you can be consistent on first. Then we'll work on the intensity secondly, you know. And I think that is the first thing, is that mindset. When you wake up in the morning, make your bed, you know, succeed at something, you know, and suddenly go for a walk, go for a run, and that will make you feel successful at that goal in your day, you know. And so make your tasks, break them down to daily tasks, you know, instead of looking at it as a year as well. 2018 is long, you know. It consists out of 24 hours, 7 days a week. A lot of people say, oh, March, it's still a lot of time before I need to go on holiday, so I'll start training then. No, it's about looking at today, you know, not tomorrow or next week. So I think that's, I don't know if that answers your question really. I'd say, you know, start, do something that is accessible to you. That's why I use jogging or walking, brisk walking as an example, because you can put your shoes on, get out early in the morning, and there's no excuses, you know. Exactly. You don't need a membership for that.
And I feel that people always come up with excuses at the end of the day. It's people are so easy to say, well, I can't go training today because I've got so much to do, or I'm a mom, or I'm this. But fitness in business is so much the same thing. It's exactly.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Just to add to what you're saying, you know, I think there's 2 reasons why people get dismotivated, you know, or unmotivated, is because first of all, they see it like the elephant, you know, and it's so huge, they've tried this before, they failed at trying to transform their bodies before. And the same goes for business. But what they lack to understand is if you know, you got to be consistent at working at it, you know, and then at some point it will come, something comes through for you, as long as you're taking big enough actions all the time, you know. So, and that comes in your fitness journey. I mean, if you are willing to dedicate yourself today consistently, every single day, to any form of training, I promise you, your life will change. Your body will change. Obviously, what you want to do is make constant increases in your intensity and that level of actions that you're taking. But that usually happens when you start getting inspired, meaning you see some body fat dropping, for example. You feel a bit stronger. You feel a bit fitter. Suddenly, that inspires you to go to that next level in your training and adjusting your eating, etc. But the problem is, people look at a bodybuilder or fitness, I think, oh, I want to look like that, and I'm so far from that, I'm not even going to start. Instead, they should focus on their own journey, and they will realize that quickly they will get inspired by themselves. And that is the sustainability that they will need to be successful at the end of the day.
And Baroness, give us a bit of background about on how you started Body 20. Was the plan always to go into a franchise, or did it just happen?
Very good question. You know, I, to be honest with you, I started in my living room training people. I bought the device. It was the last cents that I had. I think I emptied my equity fund. I had some Alan Gray equity fund, which I started when I was, you know, at university. And I had to empty all my savings. And it was a matter of being inspired by the training. I knew people would want to buy this. Problem is, I didn't know how they want to buy it, or, you know, what they're prepared to pay for it. So I actually just started my living room training my friends, my family, you know, and that wasn't very long ago. I mean, that's 2013, August, what? You know, I mean,
that's 4 or 5 years. That's amazing.
Absolutely. I mean, we won Franchisor of the Year last year. And to give you some perspective, a newcomer Franchisor of the Year, and Rocco Mamas came second, you know. So that is a good testament to our vision. And the vision is really to inspire other people. You were saying, was franchising the way that I want to go? I didn't necessarily think of franchising as the vehicle. I was training my clients and enjoying the experience with them, you know, and through that, they saw something in me in the way I did it, where my client said, you know, I want to do what you do, you know, and so what happened is, in my first year, by 2014, the end of 2014, I already had about 9 studios because of my clients at my first studio, you know, saying, hey, I want to do what you do. You seem happy. You seem motivated, inspired by what you do. And that is, it was not really the financial aspect or the profitability of the business that made people excited at all. It was the vision, you know, like bringing the future forward, you know, with technology training versus all the conventional primitive ways of training, you know. So I think people saw the vision early on. And through my clients' eyes, I started to see the opportunity in a bigger light, if I could put it that way. So not as much my vision for the business that made Body 20 what it is today, but it's more the vision of my network partners, my franchisees, the people that believe in me. And I've started to see myself through their eyes, because as an entrepreneur, here, you don't always see yourself as this successful franchise. Well, I've never done it before. So surely, I mean, experience will say that I don't know how to do it, but I was motivated and inspired enough by seeing how it impacts my franchisees' lives and our members' lives. And I think that's what really brought the business into this franchise brand and the franchise network, which it is today.
Yes, yes. No, I absolutely love that. And I think that when you start a business, as long as you have the vision in place, you know, you can always reverse engineer on how to get, how to achieve that vision. So I always teach my clients, you know, what do you want to achieve? And then we reverse engineer the process. Okay, how are we going to achieve that? How many clients do we need to see? How many deals do we need to have to close? How many calls do you have to do? So, you know, it's all about exactly what you said. It's all about a reverse engineering process.
No, that's very interesting what you're saying. You know, strategy and effort will be success in battle. And a lot of people think that working harder, you know, is the answer, and it's not. If you don't have the right strategy, in other words, what you're saying, you need to know where you want to end up. The clearer that picture is to you, you know, you got to see it, you got to taste it, you got to feel it. Okay, you got to see yourself on that magazine. On, you know, you got to see yourself being called a tycoon in something, for example. It's so awesome when, you know, when you guys invite me for an interview, and I realize seeing through the reality of how people are engaging me, that I've been able, the picture becomes clear to me. So suddenly I can go from a 100 million business to a billion rand business because I suddenly get inspired by the vision, you know, and the strategy. But I didn't get here without knowing exactly where it is that I want to end up being. And that being said, I call it a big, hairy, audacious goal. You gotta be able to say, hey, I'll be happy there, but I gotta aim 10 times higher just to reach that first milestone, you know? So in other words, when I started, for example, I didn't say I want 100 studios, you know, because someone that says, oh, I want 100 studios, they will end up having 10 or 20 because their strategy doesn't allow for correct motivation, you know? Mine, for example, I say I want 10,000. So immediately you're like, shit, okay, you're not going to do that in South Africa, are you?
Yeah.
So that's why I... Exactly. So in other words, I really knew I'm going to go to the USA. It's the big consumer market. So in other words, when I started 4 years ago, I knew I want to end up in the USA. And today I can tell you, I own one of the studios, the proof of concept in Fort Lauderdale in Florida. And we're just expanding to South Carolina, Charleston, and to South California in Q1 this year alone. You know, so that being said, the only reason we're doing that, it's because, you know, I was dreaming it. Not only dreaming it, but I already took actions 3 or 4 years ago on something that I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for it. You know, and that's the thing is, everyone waits to be ready for it. I say, create the problem, then you solve it later.
Exactly.
You understand what I mean?
Exactly, exactly. It's like Richard Parents say, always say yes to opportunities. Even if you don't know how to do them, say yes and figure out later how to do them, you know? I mean, business is all about opportunities. And so my next question is, what do you think is more important, motivation or execution?
Sure. People, executors are usually highly motivated. That would be my answer to
that.
I think we're on the same page there. You have to be highly motivated to be able to execute the way that people see. You know, I mean, if you look at even the storytellers of the world, you know, Steve Jobs, Richard Branson, they are highly motivated individuals. And I assure you that the execution came after the fact. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And being such a, you know, successful business person, we can talk so much about the good things. Tell me, What is the one biggest lesson you have learned in business? Like, what is the one thing that you will never forget that happened to you that was a huge lesson? And how did you handle it? And what system did you put in place so it doesn't repeat itself again?
Sure. I think there's lots of lessons learned as an entrepreneur. Don't take yourself too seriously and don't take your business too seriously either. I think that's very important, is that the level of, it is still a game to a large degree. You know, I know you tie your life and your heart into it, but at the end of the day, you make bad decisions when it's your life, you know, meaning that, you know, the emotional things can drive your decisions hugely because you attach yourself. So listen, the business is just an extension of the entrepreneur, make no mistake. So your weaknesses will be the weaknesses in the business. But what I have learned is that over time that you got to let your own guards down. You got to let your ego down to a large degree because, you know, if you're doing what you put on earth to do, your purpose, motive is what you do for a living. And I hope for everyone that's the case. Otherwise, make a move now. You'll never succeed unless it is where your heart's at, you know, so to speak. So, but for those people that are on this journey, is know that you are already set up to achieve, you know, as a Christian myself, I know God has already paved the way for me. I have to be diligent to the process and to the people that crosses my road, you know. So in other words, I got to add as much value constantly, which means learn as quickly as possible, you know, add lots of value all the time. But it doesn't mean you got to know everything, you know, at all. In actual fact, I realized that most successful entrepreneurs, those aren't the most technically effective people at all. What they do is they don't want to be an expert at anything, to be honest. What you want to do is you want to learn a little about a lot versus being an expert, you know. And as an entrepreneur myself, I don't have any BCom or business background, sales or marketing background in terms of working for them or studying it for any matter, you know. I've got a bachelor in science, which is, you know, completely different than the business world. So what's also very important to me is that level of creativity that I've learned, because I don't come from a financial background or from a entrepreneurial background as such. You know, I'm what you typically call a self-taught entrepreneur, as I'm sure most of your audience is, you know. But that confidence in yourself is very important, because there's nothing, what you don't know, you can figure out, make no mistake. But make sure that you're constantly learning and learning quickly. So that means you've got the people you network with, I think the mentors in your life, the people listening to your show, for example, those are the things that truly impact and move you forward. That's the things that's really impacted me, is making sure I can go to seminars, read books, because those people inspire you, their ideas inspire you. It gives you the level of creative thinking that you need to have to succeed these days. It's not good enough anymore just to work hard or even have a good product for that matter. You know, what is more important is how creative it is. You know, and that's not only in terms of your financial side too. You know, like, you can't do business like you did in the old days. My dad used to say, you know, buy low, sell high, collect early, pay late. That's how you do business. You know, and that's terrible. It sounds terrible.
That sounds so South African.
Precisely. It's ideas that matter, you know, ideas, intellectual property, you know, agreements these days isn't even a physical exchange of anything for that matter. No. So in other words, your thinking as an entrepreneur is so important. So to answer your question, just to maybe summarize a little bit, is, you know, make sure that your thoughts become things. You got to know that the way you think of yourself as an entrepreneur, you don't need to be an expert at everything. Learn a little bit about a lot. Have great mentors. Go to seminars. Read books. Listen to your show. And then lastly, I'd say, in terms of a lesson learned, is that that emotional aspect of your of you as the entrepreneur, sometimes you got to remove it, because someone rejects you or rejects a product or has friction with you in your service, then we take it so personally because you're the owner, you know. And that's important, because that gives you motivation to fix it and to change it. But at the other hand, you've got to be careful that you don't make emotional decisions, because it will end up driving your behavior instead of your logic driving your behavior.
Exactly. I always say, you know, it doesn't matter in what situation you are in, you need to think intelligently and not emotionally. Because I think that's the biggest mistake that entrepreneurs make, is that we care too much. You know, we are growing this company as a baby. We are so emotionally attached to this. And once something negative happens, we're already going on a battlefield, you know, trying to fight everyone. And I think that's it's an emotional rant. Instead of saying, hang on, exactly. Instead of saying, hang on, let me think logically about this for a moment. Let me step away from the situation. Think about it and then respond. And I think that is people go on a rant. It's like they react to a reaction. And that is the biggest mistake that people make. And tell me, so you were talking about mentorship and all of that. What is your opinion about, you know, a lot of people, you know, with business coaches and mentorships, that that stuff costs a lot of money. What is your opinion about people investing in themselves to get a business coach, to be better entrepreneurs and to be better business people? Do you think it's a smart move, or what is your opinion?
Yeah, absolutely smart, because I think that's money always, you know, that's something I see as an asset to you as an entrepreneur. So there's not enough. I think we try and spend too much money trying to grow our physical products, our physical service, build our customer support, whatever it is that you're busy working on and spending your resources on. You must not forget that you are the business. So you should invest in growing you, you know, instead of trying to spend all your resources on creating a product or service, because those things are just an extension of you. So I hope that answers your question, Anna. But furthermore, I think that also in terms of mentorship, it's not expensive. In actual fact, you should not pay for the best mentorship that you will receive. It's people close to you that care about your business. I'm not necessarily saying sometimes the biggest adversity you have comes from the people close to you, but usually they will cross your path. So example, a supplier, a buyer, a customer, someone you deliver a service to goes, you know what, you're amazing at what you do, you know, and I have value to add to you. And, you know, that is, as an entrepreneur, you should always be open to take that on and go, you know what does this person know? Do they have something that I need in terms of growth in my personal strengths, you know, and then spend time around them, you know, try and figure out what it is that value they can offer you. So that's inexpensive. I would say my personal journey, I can't speak for everyone. I've been blessed with mentors. I've been blessed with having amazing opportunities to learn and grow, and it didn't cost me a cent. In actual fact, most of those times I've actually made money, because the strategy was to empower entrepreneurs. And if you empower other entrepreneurs, automatically what they do is they give you value back. You know, because they actually want to obviously add value to the investment. So it means that they got to bring their strengths, and then you learn from that, you know. So if you have the right strategy, your customers will be even your mentors.
Exactly.
If that makes sense.
And you know, with all the good what's happening with growth and all of that, and as you grow, you know, the saying that the more you grow, the more friends you lose. And how do you deal with haters, and how do you deal with people that does not support your vision and they don't see the bigger picture? Basically, like friends giving you a ton of shit, if we can say it like, you know, tell it like a French way. How do you handle that? Like the non-believers, let's call them the non-believers.
Sure. I mean, my parents are the biggest non-believers. They thought I went off the rails when I, you know, after university, didn't continue with the honors or masters, and I went to do this thing for myself. You know, so you always get the biggest adversity from the people closest to you. And I say, if you don't, then you're not on the right track. In honest truth is, people should be scared by your ideas. They should be scared about the risks you're taking, because otherwise they're just not big enough. Then you're not taking enough actions to scare the people around you, so to speak. You know, so I hope that kind of gives you some insight in terms of my mindset. Is that I wake up every day expecting that I'm going to get adversity today. Okay, meaning in my game, I'm as a franchisor, I get franchisees contacting me, you know, and in a jubilation and saying, you know, we're doing so well, this is amazing, I'm succeeding. And then just after that, you'll get someone that literally breaks your back for the day, because the problem in their lives are so huge. Remember, it's the entrepreneurs, you know, these people, their businesses is everything for them. So when they're struggling with something, it can pull me down. So eventually I had to learn, you know what, I got to wake up expecting 10 people to call me with bad news, okay? And then by 10 o'clock, someone calls with bad news or with a negativity or whatever. And then I'm like, you know what, this has been a great day.
Yeah.
I've only had one call versus the alternative, which is kind of expecting every day to be perfect, and then you end up getting that first call and you're like, oh, I knew it, this is terrible.
It's gonna be a real bad exactly. Yeah. It's like preparing yourself for the worst, you know.
Exactly. And as an entrepreneur, you have to, and that's what they call mitigating your risks at the end of the day.
Exactly.
But see a complaint as an opportunity to build a better relationship with your customer. I must say, that's what I always do. I try and don't get emotional, because remember, the other client is emotional, or the complaint or the friction you experience is emotional, it's negative. And the best way to look at it is actually remove yourself a little bit, okay? Because it's not your emotion, you don't need to take it on. So immediately you go and deal with it in a positive attitude, almost fixes the problem immediately, because the problem is that the entrepreneur complaining is generally has a negativity in terms of the outlook, and that must be adjusted, because they criticize and then they go blind, you know? You want to turn them around to analyze the problem. You know, I'm with you. You are right. This seems to be a problem for you. Let's analyze it. Let's open our eyes and look at possible solutions versus, oh, I take offense. You know, this is not really, it's your problem, not mine. You're not doing right things. You're not taking ownership. It's so easy to do that because we become emotional. The hardest thing to do is almost step back, apply a positive attitude, positive outlook, and suddenly your eyes will go open to solutions, you know? So see that a client complaining as an opportunity instead of, oh, you know, this is a negative thing, you know?
Exactly.
I'm failing, you know?
No, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you, because I always say that whenever you go to see a new client and you get a no for the business, I always say the no means it's a new opportunity. I see a no as a new opportunity to go to someone else. You know, what is wrong with getting a no? You know, that's how I feel about it. You know, like, oh, can I say the F word? Like, fuck it. You know, if someone gives you the no, it's their problem. They are losing out. You know, just move on. So
I think it depends on how many no's you're getting.
in
relation to the amount of yeses you're getting.
Exactly.
You know? So I agree 100%. And it's a numbers game. That's what I'm trying to point out here is, you know, people that take it personally or know personally, it's just because they don't have enough in their sales pipeline. You know, then exactly. You start taking it personally because you don't have enough potential pitches. So then you must increase your activity. I say people all the time, if you get too many no's, it's just because you're not trying enough in terms of seeing enough people, or your strategy is wrong. In other words, your exactly. conversion strategy is incorrect and you're not giving them the right information at the right time, you know? So, it's so easy to say people don't want to buy from me, it's their problem. You've got to see that as your problem. Be like, you know, why not? You know, what is it that made this client say no? Let me learn from that and, you know, answer that question next time before it even comes up, for example.
Exactly, why
they said that. And don't be, one thing is a lot of people, when they get a no, they pull back. They close the door. I engage. I actually push further and go, okay, it's disappointing to hear that because I think I've got value to add, okay?
Exactly.
So tell me, what are the reasons that you said no for? And, you know, be frank, you know? Exactly. And you as an entrepreneur, you need to be able to take those punches, you know, because those are actually not punches that's going to knock you out. Those are like conditioning punches, you know?
Exactly.
You have to flex your abs and someone punches your tummy, that will strengthen your abdominals so that one day if the big proper punch comes, you actually have the level conditioning in your abs to take that knock. So the same way in entrepreneurship, you should be able to take those knocks because they're conditioning to you, and then next time the big punch comes, you're ready for it, you know?
Exactly. You need to, and I think the biggest thing is you need to anticipate the objections that a prospect client will, you know, will have. And in your sales speech, you need to cover those objections. So if for whatever case the client says, you know, or, you know, maybe it's too expensive, and then you say, but we already have this in place in terms of a payment plan, or we, you know, whatever they have an issue with, whatever an objection can be, because at the end of the day, we as entrepreneurs are here to solve a problem. And the more problems you can solve,
I can't agree.
The more problems you
the
solve.
More value you have.
Exactly, exactly. So, and it's a numbers game, and I completely agree with you on that one. And so I actually have a question from one of our Facebook audience members. Her name is Renelle Huester. She's asking, what did you learn from marketing Body 20 effectively, considering that you have to compete against mega brands like Virgin Active and Planet Fitness in South Africa?
Yeah, so thank you for that question to the audience member, Renelle, you said. It's a very relevant question. If you're someone that's really interested in competing with other people, you'd end up looking at things like that, like how much budget they have, what is their marketing strategy. For me, it's not about comparing myself to anyone at all. In actual fact, you know, I don't look at my competitors as competitors. I focus solely on my own efforts and on taking massive actions within my own, you know, constraints, so to speak, because I try and think out of the box constantly. So I think that a lot of entrepreneurs make the mistake and go look at what others are doing and try and copy that to a large degree. And I know you're going, this sounds like a cliche, you're copying other people, but it happens so much. Even if we don't even consider it copying anymore if we just change a name or word. But the reality is that your strategy cannot be copied, because the reasons why you started will be is everything to you, and the way that other people do things doesn't necessarily mean it goes the same for you. It's going to work for you because, you know, if your why doesn't align with the how and the what that you do, then people won't trust you, you know, because they'll realize, exactly. Oh, you're trying to compete with someone else, you don't have an identity, so to speak. So I try and find what those people aren't willing to do. Okay, and I spend most of my time on that. And that's what I'd say is the definition of dominating, is that, you know, Grant Cardone as well, if you guys follow him, he's fantastic.
Yeah, I love him.
Someone, to follow and read some of his books, but he speaks a lot about this. Awesome, you know, 10X and all, that's the right mindset. But he speaks a lot about dominating versus competing, and he says it right. He says, you know, if you want to dominate, you have to do the things that your competitor isn't willing to do. So focus more of your attention on that than on what they're actually doing. Now, exactly. And in my business, what I've identified is that ownership, because none of those big Planet Fitness and by the way, we've got more outlets than Planet Fitness. We just have a smaller capacity per outlet. And the Virgin Actives, you know, what they lack is that there's no ownership in their service. Okay. So in other words, we have owner operated facilities and the owner is a part of your experience every day.
So we really
make sure that our focus is on precisely, you know, not only as an experience, but also just in terms of the ownership of the business, the entrepreneur, the heart, it's got the flavor of the owner there, you know, so you really connect with them on a much deeper level than you can through your fitness journey at one of those big outlets, for example, like Divergence and the Planet Fitnesses. So, yeah, I think mostly is I don't try and compete with them on their same space. I compete within my own space and I create my own space and focus on that, you know?
No, I absolutely love that. And so seeing that you are a fitness expert, and I really want to ask this question, and I'm gonna go there today, and this is one for the ladies. And what is your opinion on the way that social media and magazines are portraying body standards for women and setting a general body look for women? You know, sure, like on all the magazine covers, like the Cosmo, and the Instagram babes, you know, they are so perfect. Yeah. They are so tanned. They are so toned. You know, they are so proportioned. How do women actually, you know, stand up to that? You know, I mean, women, like, you know, normal women, you know, we work, we have kids, we have life, we have schedules. And then I personally feel that it's such an unrealistic message and such an unrealistic goal for women to say, oh, I want to look like this Instagram babe. You know, what is your, being a fitness influencer in your own field and being a leader, what is your advice that you can give women, you know, to not compare themselves to that type of scenario?
Yes. So I don't want to assume to know the female psyche as such, you know, because I know that there's so many things that you guys go through on a daily basis which we don't as men appreciate, like just putting up putting on makeup, getting ready. I mean, seriously, as a mom, as a businesswoman, I mean, I imagine when I wake up, I'm already in work mode and I don't care so much about what I put on and how I, you know, what I do with my hair. Takes me half the time. So you're 100% right, is that you've got so much more things to worry about. So I can't even begin to know just what the difficult journey it is and how. That's why my people like you and I, you know, so hungry, so successful, but yet you've got so many more almost responsibilities that hold you back compared to the male setup, particularly within the corporate and in entrepreneur world. But what I would say is that it's very important that you stay true to your own identity. You know, the thing is, those people aren't happy. Always remember that. I have been there. I've been on the magazine. I'm the guy. I can tell you, like, I've got more body dysmorphia issues than the average person. You know, luckily, when I was competing, especially as a fitness and a bodybuilder, and I've won many titles in that space, by that point, I was actually the unhappiest. And I was a world champion. I was a South African champion. I've won every show which I could set my mind out to do. And I wasn't happy. So you must never, happiness is within your own life, success within your own life. Keep in mind, it's very specific to you, who you are, what matters to you. And if you had to ask me if it's about how the girl looks for who I would date or marry for that matter, is, you know, the weight that you lose or have on your body it's not the decision maker for most men. I can assure you of that. The message that's portraying, and I can't speak for all males, but we also know how unrealistic that is, you know, and also know just how it discourages women to feel the confidence that they deserve, because they've been put on this earth as a complete whole, a very special angel, you know, versus, you know, this perfect picture, which really doesn't exist, not even within those people's lives whose picture it is. Usually, in actual fact, it's the exact opposite. And I can only speak out of experience because I've been there. The better I looked, the worse I felt. To be honest, you know, so exactly. I'm now what I call in a very content place where I've realized, you know what? The hell with this. I'm a father of three. I've got a business. I, as long as I'm consistent with my training and it makes me feel good, and that happens in my mind and the way I think about it, is more important than the facts. You know, because when I was putting so much pressure on myself, and that's how I can relate with women entrepreneurs, is I know you guys are very hard on yourselves, you know, and more so than men, actually. We give ourselves much more leeway than we give generally female entrepreneurs, but also just in general, you know. So you guys can't be that hard on yourself. No, your strengths are so powerful. And this is something I always like to say. We as males have to break someone's frame to gain posture. Remember, you're a female, you have the power. You know, we've been geared for a female to be intimidated in actual fact, because, you know, you have something over us, so to speak, which is that, you know, we all love our mothers. We respect women, you know, or any normal minded person should respect what a woman stands for and the things she goes through as a birth giver, the emotional support she gives children. And we have the same responsibilities, make no mistake, but we take for granted just how much you guys invest on things that is not necessarily our number one priority. Mm-hmm. You know, like I sometimes see that we have the same priorities, males and females, you know, women and men. But what happens is that our number one priority is your number 10 and your number one is our number 10. You know, so that's where we're mixing.
I completely get it. And I think you just won the hearts of like all the women across the world, because I mean, you're so respectful towards women, and you can see that, you know, the different challenges that women and men experience. And, you know, I'm grateful and I'm very, you know, blessed that you did say that, because I feel that women are constantly fighting the stereotyping of the perfect woman, you know, the sure. perfect hair, the yeah. perfect body, the perfect everything. And it's just not, yeah, I personally feel it's not sustainable, you know, but so yeah, but thank you for your honest question. I really do appreciate that. So on to my second last question. How important do you think it is to be self-aware?
Sure.
Knowing who you are.
Yeah, that is everything, isn't it? Because if you can't identify your weaknesses and your strengths, then you don't have a clue where to spend your time. You know,
yeah.
So it is fundamental to your success. I think people that's very self-aware, you almost so that you can break yourself down to a large degree. So you've got to be very careful. There's a certain level of self-awareness that's also healthy to a large degree, you know. And yeah. That's maybe just a caution I'd put out there. Self-awareness is very important, but be careful to be negative and destructive, because we tend to destroy ourselves more than we do others. And that's what I've realized, is that when someone lashes out, or if I lash out, I really know that's how I feel. That is actually a reflection on me rather than a reflection on that person, you know. So self-awareness is important. Just be careful to be so self-aware that you end up breaking yourself down, because we are so tend to focus on our weaknesses because they stand out, right?
Exactly.
The strength is just some part of you. It's who you are.
Yeah.
And some of us don't live in that strength. So you almost just live in your negativity, because that's the only thing you see.
Yeah.
So you've got to make sure that you start seeing the good in you, you know, because it's a lot.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't know. Do you follow Gary Vee on social media?
No, I don't. I will look
Gary Vee, he's amazing. He's amazing. And he always said that, you know, you need to go all in on your strengths and forget about your weaknesses. Stop thinking about your weaknesses. Stop living in your weaknesses. Go all in on your strengths and dominate.
That's
I love it.
Brilliant. I love that.
You need to go follow Gary. He's amazing. He's got like a million followers. He's brilliant. And so my last question is, what drives and motivates you? Why do you
Yo, I don't know. I think the opportunity, once you've tasted it before, you know, and you realize what it feels like bringing something to life that really impacts people and really inspires you, then you're searching for that every day. So I need to find something. I'm what they call an achiever, an activator. So every day I start at zero and I have to score myself out of 10. So I need to hit something big every day. Instead of kind of focusing on one big thing every 3 months, you know, I try and focus on one big thing every day. And what actually happens is you usually don't get it done. So that's why you almost feel like you fail some days. But in actual fact, because you're aiming high every day, it ends up adding up hugely on your score sheet over the period of 3, 4, 5 years. And for some, over 10 to 20 years, they've aimed big every day. And that's why they build the Facebook, or they build an empire like Airbnb or Uber. They play the long game. You know, so that's very important for you, is that to play the long game of success, you need to take big actions every day. And that means work on the things that could truly make a difference today. And that's usually some of the hardest stuff, the things that you're trying to avoid, because, you know, that's usually the thing I try and work at, is I wake up in the morning and say, what bothers me the most? About, you know, it could be a client, or it could be a situation, it could be a development of a system. But then I know I got to spend some time and focus my first energy when I wake up in the morning on that, because I know that's going to add the most to my score sheet at the end of the time.
Yes. No, definitely. Definitely. So Bertus, it was really great having you on our show today, and thank you for accepting our offer to take time away from your busy schedule. I know you're on your way to the US, right? Next week or something?
That's right. Now I fly tomorrow.
Awesome. But Bertus, again, thank you so very much for being on our show. And you know what? I feel that this platform, Women Entrepreneur, it's not just for women. It's an overall experience for all entrepreneurs. And it's about empowering women. But thing is, it's not mm-hmm. just women that need to empower women. We need the men, you know, we need experience of the men supporting and standing by women entrepreneurs, empowering women entrepreneurs to be the future leaders of the country, of the world, becoming new CEOs, becoming their CEOs themselves, quitting their jobs and doing something that they're really passionate about. And I feel that that alone cannot be achieved by only women, that we also need the support from men. So I want to thank you for supporting women entrepreneurs across the world and for taking time out of your schedule. And the world needs more men like you, Bertus.
Well, I won't say that I'm perfect, but I absolutely agree with what you're saying, that, you know, at the end of the day, we got to carry that forward. And as mothers and as females generally, we have an obligation to make sure you guys have a voice to impact the world, because, you know, there's actually a lack of education to a large degree, because men aren't involved integrally as much as they should be in the development and education of their own children, as much as mothers and females are generally. You can just go look, and I know this is a huge generalization, but go look at the statistics in terms of teachers, male to female teachers. You know, I'm just looking at the schooling system itself, let alone on from that point of it, and mentors and et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I agree, I can't agree more, and I look forward to the world changing rapidly. I think the last 10 years, if that's a show of what's going to happen the next 10 years, we might see a richest female, perhaps even as yourself, on the top 10 Forbes for millionaires in the world. So I look forward to that.
Exactly. No, me too. And again, Bertus, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it, and you must have a safe flight and journey to the US tomorrow.
Thanks, Una. I look forward to it.
Okay, thanks so much.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Woman Entrepreneur Podcast, the number one success platform for female entrepreneurs. Visit our website, womanentrepreneur.co, for your daily motivation and business growth expert advice. Until next time, play big, think big, and impress yourself.